Time now for Down to Earth with Steve Stone, brought to you by St. Henry Bankhall Brothers Incorporated, Nature's Green Nursery, and Shockman Lumber Company. Reminder, if you have any questions for Steve about your lawns, your landscapes, your trees, anything like that, give him a call, 419-586-5133. He'll be more than happy to answer your question live on the air today. We also remind you the show is being recorded and it will be posted on our website, WCSMradio.com. Steve, good morning.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
Well, I'm good because my Cubbies are doing good. I think they're in first place. It is spring football day.
That's a little salt in the wound there since I'm a Reds fan.
Yeah, I know. I mean, you chose your unhappiness. That's your fault. But it is spring football day. You've been there in the past.
Yep.
I've never been to a spring game, so you're not going today. But, you know, should be a pretty decent day for a little bit of football.
It's going to be a little chilly to start the day, but going to be a fantastic day for Ohio State football, you know, to drive to Columbus and watch the reigning national champions. That's
right. And you said they get their rings today.
They get their rings today. I heard on the got a notification on through my email that the game is going on today and there's a presentation for their national championship rings.
Awesome.
Today. So that'd be pretty exciting.
Yeah, well, we'll have live coverage of the spring game on Lake 100 today. I believe pregame will be around the 11:30, 11:45 time. I believe the game will start at 12. If you've never been to one or never listened to one, it's not a traditional game. You know, kind of a little different format. Yeah. Lasts maybe about an hour, hour and a half.
Yep. Yeah, it doesn't last long, and, you know, they're not out there hitting each other really hard. But again, it's, you know, if you're a diehard fan like we are, it's exciting to see the team out on the field, and to be in the shoe is kind of a religious experience, if you ask me.
It is.
So yeah, it's going to be fun, and to see the team out there playing and get some new players, new quarterbacks, and all kinds of new stuff to see. So it's going to be an interesting season.
That's right. And we're down a defensive coordinator who went to one of our rivals.
Yeah, that was really...
That was hard to take.
That was a surprise, and certainly, yes, very... Very disappointing, and yeah, to go against him this fall is going to be interesting.
Yeah, and now I'm sure our listeners are like, all right, stop talking football. Let's talk why you're supposed to be here.
Oh.
So that's my fault. I geared it towards the Buckeye. That's so right. You can blame me, listeners. Don't blame Steve. But we'll jump right into today's show. And, you know, Steve, I'm just going to start the yards. As not just mine, but as I see driving to work, I'm really starting to green up. My grass is starting to grow a little bit more. I have yet to mow, so I guess I'm just going to start off. Should I have mowed by now, or with the way the temperature has been up and down and up and down and frozen mornings and wet days, should I have started mowing, or is it good that I've held off?
It's perfectly fine. Place, obviously. Really cold nights this week. We started spring early, and we had April-like temperatures, late April temperatures a few days. And then this whole last week has been more like early to mid-March temperatures. The lawn can dictate, you know, if you need to mow it or not. If the lawn is tall enough that you're going to be taking something off when you're mowing, then it's perfectly fine to get out there. I've had lots of questions this week about mowing, and the questions all revolved around mostly the temperature, because again, we had some pretty frosty nights down in the 20s. And my answer to all of those is certainly it's fine to mow. You need to, in the morning, early, when you get up and the grass has frost on it, you need to stay off of it. Even foot traffic is, if you can, I mean, I have dogs, so I have to go out and walk my dogs through my yard so they can do what they need to do before I bring them back in. Again, hesitate to have a lot of traffic on it when the turf's frozen, because it can create some damage that you might see once it does warm up during the day. But overall, you know, the lawn is perfectly fine, you know, even with these hard frosts. And the question I was getting and actually got a half a dozen people text me or call me and ask me about mowing during the day, knowing that we're going to have a frost, or in some cases a fairly hard frost, that following evening or upcoming evening. And again, as long as you're on the turf when it's not frozen and your blades are sharp, which we talked about last Saturday, if you haven't done that yet, get your mower out, clean the deck out from underneath. If most all the mowers today have some sort of a mulching type mechanism, as far as the way the blades are shaped or the deck itself is shaped, that it tries to take the clippings that you're getting and kind of whirl them around underneath the mower so that the blades hit them multiple times. So you get kind of a mulched turf that you're mowing, and then it doesn't clump up as bad. When the mower's dirty and it's all packed and caked underneath, it's not working effectively. So clean that out. Sharpen your blades. Having sharp blades is hugely important to maintaining a very healthy lawn. And then again, mowing, if you mow today, it sounds like the temperatures are going to be pretty nice today and then also tomorrow. Next week, temps are better than they were this week, but certainly not like the temperatures we had a week or so ago when they were in the 70s consistently. But anyhow, it's perfectly fine to mow. You want to, again, please make sure you spend a little bit of extra time and make sure those blades are sharp, because it makes a huge difference in turf quality. People, you know, have different lawn services that might come out and fertilize your lawn, and always take into consideration when you're paying for a service to come out. They're basically only one third of your overall turf quality and turf help. They're 33%. The other third is going to be mowing, is going to be you and how you mow and maintain it, how frequently you mow or infrequently you mow, how you maintain your mower as far as the blade being sharp, and again, the height that you're mowing. That plays as big a factor on turf quality as what somebody that's coming out and fertilizing and spraying for weeds. That's very, very, very important. The other third to that piece of, or that whole overall pie, the other third is Mother Nature and how consistently we're getting rain and how consistently, you know, whatever the temperatures might be. So there's, again, three different factors that go into a very healthy, good-looking, dense turf or lawn. And again, the company, if your lawn looks lousy, the company that you're hiring, you know, again, may not take, or shouldn't take the brunt of that, because, again, they're only one third of it. Height, again, sharp blades makes a huge difference. The height that you're mowing makes a really big difference too. The higher you mow, the better your turf's going to look, and the better quality turf you're going to have, and most importantly, the deeper root system you're going to have. If you have turf type tall fescue, you need to be mowing no shorter than 3 inches. 3 inches is minimum. You can mow a little taller when it gets hot and dry in July and August. You can bump that up to 3.5 or even 4 inches, but you really don't want to mow any less than 3 inches. If you have bluegrass will tolerate a little bit shorter stance. You can go down to 2.5 inches, but ideally, again, I would say that number for bluegrass should be 2.75 to 3 inches. Again, the taller the turf, the better and healthier and deeper the root system is. If you're mowing at 2 inches, or if you're scalping your lawn thinking that you can mow less frequently if you cut short, which certainly is not the case, you're going to create a tremendous amount of stress. You're going to, for the turf, you're going to create a tremendous, a very poor quality root system. So when we do get a few warm, dry days in May and June, that turf is going to go south very, 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 very quickly. It's just simply does not have the root system to sustain a healthy lawn. And so it's going to start to decline rapidly. If you have a very long blade and you mow consistently at 2.5 to 3 inches, that turf is going to be healthy and it's going to tolerate a very long dry summer much more effectively than, again, if you're mowing at 2 inches. And again, if you're mowing at 2 inches and it's July and August, if your aim is to not mow at all because the turf is just simply going to peter out and then just kind of go dormant, that's what you're going to get. It's just simply not going to tolerate that. And actually, another thing that can make a big difference in quality is mowing direction. If you are mowing, you know, again, you mow your yard this week and you mow the direction of, say, like north-south, next week, mow east-west. That actually does make a difference in quality and density. Mowing different directions versus every week mowing the exact same direction. What happens when you do that is you kind of push the turf down and it kind of starts to lay down and it all lays one direction. And that can create a poor health and poor quality of turf. If you're mowing different directions every time you're mowing, that actually, again, creates a better stand, less likelihood of having thin spots. And also, when you have less likelihood of thin spots, you're going to have less weed issues. So a lot of things to think about. I mean, it's just not firing the mower up and going out there and kind of going through the motions. There's definitely a little bit of thought and care that can go into it. Makes a huge difference in, again, density and quality and color with your lawn. So we're going to get to a break right now and we'll be back.
Chances are that you have more than enough chores to do every day. Banking shouldn't be one of them. That's why the St. Henry Bank offers the convenience of internet banking, automatic bill pay, and the master money and debit cards. Yet with all this automation, our biggest source of pride is how we do business with you face to face.
When it comes to banks, there's large, and then there's large enough. The St. Henry Bank in St. Henry and Maria Stein. Large enough to serve you, small enough to know you. Member FDIC.
Need a tough and reliable workhorse? Discover the Kubota RTV X Series at Hall Brothers in Fort Recovery. These rugged utility vehicles handle any job, whether on the farm or at the job site. With a powerful engine, spacious cargo bed, and versatile features, the RTV X Series is built to get things done. Experience the durability and comfort you need. Visit Hall Brothers today and drive home your Kubota RTV X Series utility vehicle. Hall Brothers in Fort Recovery, your trusted partner for quality Kubota equipment.
We are in control of your radio dial.
It's the Afternoon Drive with me, Clay Roberts, Monday through Friday from 3 to 7 p.m. on WCSM 96.7 FM. I bring you the latest in music, entertainment news, movies out at the box office. Sometimes we give away some prizes. And don't forget, at 5:30, we do bring you our news and information hour. Listen online at WCSMradio.com and with your smartphone or tablet with the TuneIn Radio app to the Afternoon Drive, Monday through Friday from 3 to 7 p.m. on WCSM.
And welcome back to Down to Earth with Steve Stone. If you have any questions, give him a call, 419-586-5133. First segment, some great info there on beginning to mow your yards this spring season. Steve, we're going to make a transition here. I actually have some family members that have apple trees, and they wanted me to ask you, is it too late to start pruning those?
Well, it's definitely getting late in the season, again, early spring, but late in the season for pruning and trimming your fruit trees. If they've already started to break dormancy and you're seeing leaves and foliage and stuff start to emerge, I would just forget about it for this season and just worry about, maintaining what you have as far as trying to keep those healthy. If they haven't broken dormancy yet, if they're still buds, you can do a little bit of light pruning, but I wouldn't suggest doing a lot of really severe heavy pruning like you would, have done maybe back in March. Again, applications, it should be done right now. We're nearly or getting really, really, really close to being past like doing your dormant oil or horticultural oil application. And as I say that, I guess I'm thinking also horticulture oil or dormant oil is a great insecticide I've talked about in previous episodes earlier this season. You just need to be careful how it's mixed. If the leaves are already starting to emerge, you're kind of not doing a dormant oil application at this point. You're seeing foliage emerge, and you can put horticultural oil or dormant oil on plants that are already leafed out. You just need to read the label directions and possibly mix it a little bit lighter than you would have otherwise if you were applying before the leaves started to emerge, because you can kind of smother, for lack of a better term, the foliage if you mix it too heavily. So again, the label's the law. Read the label, understand the label, mix according to the label. And just because the label says 2 tablespoons per gallon, don't put in 3 because you think you're going to do a better job, because it's certainly not the case. Follow the label directions, because that is Ohio law, and it's also federal law to follow those directions. And so you possibly could still get your horticultural oil on, maybe just at a lighter rate. Also, if you have peach trees, you want to consider with that horticultural oil, you want to consider doing a copper, like a copper Bordeaux or a copper sulfate application or tank mix with your horticultural oil, because that is a fungicide that will give you protection from peach leaf curl, which we commonly see here in Ohio with peach trees, and the foliage will get looking really puckered and funky looking, and that's a disease that will attack peach trees. And then your next application after that is going to be an insecticide, fungicide type of an application. That's going to be your fruit tree spray, and your bottles basically that you're looking for at your local garden center is basically going to say fruit tree spray orchard spray, something like that. That is going to be an insecticide and a fungicide that, again, you mix and apply to your fruit trees, and you're going to get very broad spectrum of control of insects and diseases on your fruit trees. And that is something that, again, needs to be done before the buds break and the flowers open. When the flowers open on your fruit tree and it's blooming, you do not want to put anything on that tree at all at that point. Because if you're applying anything, a horticultural oil, or you're applying the fruit tree spray, whatever, you very much are in danger of killing the honeybees that are pollinating all your trees. And that is absolutely what you do not want to do, is apply anything when the bees are active. Let them do their job. They're doing a wonderful job of pollinating flowers, so you're going to get tons of fruit. And then after the petals have fallen, they will be gone at that point. And then you can do another application of fruit tree spray, and you're going to, at that point, you're going to be in good shape as far as probably having a relatively clean fruit crop, because the problems you run into that you see in the summer and fall when the fruit starts to ripen and you start seeing damaged fruit or insect-ridden fruit, normally those problems start early season. They don't start mid to late season. And so you got to be proactive and get out there and get those applications done now to make sure that you will have a good fruit crop come fall. So again, if you did have a question called in, is that correct? We had a question called in.
That's right. You did have a question called in. The gentleman wanted to know how bad the Buckeyes are going to lose to the Buckeyes today. So to me, I want to know, is that just somebody who doesn't know college football because he roots for the team up north, or he's a bitter Notre Dame fan?
Oh, that was good.
Thank you.
I'm pretty sure I know who called in, and I think he would be the latter versus the former of what you just mentioned.
Oh, so he's upset that his team, who's not even involved in a conference, in my opinion, who shouldn't even be eligible for the college football playoffs,
ooh,
lost to.
Hey, he said it. I didn't. He said it. I didn't. he's probably a very, very, very good friend of mine that tends to root for those golden helmets, and you know, unfortunately, however you want to look at it, the team with that bright silver helmet, you know, like I mentioned at the beginning of the show, I'm pretty sure national champs this year. So yeah,
sounds like maybe he's lost some bets too.
Possibly. I don't know if he still has one of my jerseys or not. I don't think he does. I think all my jerseys are accounted for, but he's been known to have to wear one occasionally.
That's funny. All right, we're going to take our final break. When we'll come back, we'll have our final segment of Down to Earth with Steve Beef Stone.
Nature's Grain is getting back to their roots, and they know something about roots. Since 1994, they've been the go-to experts, and now they've combined their landscape, hardscape, and greenhouses in one location, State Route 119 between St. Henry and Fort Recovery. They are the experts to help you make good choices and give you advice. They have top-quality garden plants in the greenhouses now. Nature's Green Nursery Landscaping and Garden Center, State Route 119 between St. Henry and Fort Recovery, on Instagram and Facebook, and naturesgreennursery.com.
Sometimes I like to get hammered, but only because I'm bored. I mean, I am a board. Yep, I'm a 2x4. Of course, size doesn't matter, and if it did, Shockman's Lumber has any size you need. Some of my lumbering buddies here at Shockman have been used in an awful lot of homes, buildings, and barns in our area. I was just purchased to be a part of a new treehouse. I can't wait to get nailed. Shockman's Lumber, we're a part of just about everything you see. 342 West Columbus Street, St. Henry, and online at shockmanlumber.com.
And welcome back to Down to Earth with Steve Stone. Steve, got about 5 or 6 minutes left, so I guess I'll turn things over. So, again, if you happen to miss a show, it is going to be on our website. Segment one, you talked about mowing now that we're getting into the spring season. Segment two, you talked about pruning your fruit trees. Mm-hmm. What do we want to wrap the show up with today?
Well, another lot of calls that I've taken this week and questions have been about the cold temperatures and how that's affecting the plants that are currently up and growing, like your bulbs, your tulips, daffodils, hyacinths, crocuses. Absolutely no effect on them whatsoever. Do not get a blanket or sheet or anything and try to cover those, even if they're in bloom, with cold nights. Those bulbs have evolved over thousands and thousands of years, and they are perfectly fine with a frosty night. I was listening to another show and another station, unfortunately, that the comments were batted back and forth about, well, my wife has a whole bunch of pansies planted outside and she wants me to go out and cover them this evening. And that was the banter back and forth. And that's hilarious because that's absolutely not the case. I've got four flats of pansies planted around my house right now and in my window boxes. And again, those plants are just ultimately very tolerant of the coldest nights. I mean, we're talking those things will tolerate nights in the teens, and they will not lose their blooms. They'll continue to grow. They will continue to thrive. And so anything, like, again, pansies are the bulbs that are currently coming up. The perennials, I know my hostas are starting to poke up through the ground and through the mulch, and just lots of things starting to emerge with the warmer temperatures that we've had up to this last week. And again, going out and mulching them or putting a blanket or sheet or something over them absolutely is not necessary. Mother Nature can take care of herself very, very, very well. And so covering any of those plants is a complete waste of time. And again, if you planted pansies, you certainly don't have to worry about them at all as far as cold nights go, because they are going to thrive this time of year. They actually love cold nights and warm sunny days, which is what we've had this last week. So no worries or concerns in that with those plants. Also, another thing that, you know, I was working on this week because I'm just overly excited about getting my pots and containers planted, is I've gone through and cleaned all my old containers out, kind of sprayed them out, got the old soil and roots and things that might have been in there cleaned out really good, and started to fill them with my potting soil, my potting mix. So when we do finally get to that frost-free date there in early May, that I'm ready to start planting and getting things in the ground so I can enjoy as long a season as possible of having color and trying to get ahead of the game. So that's another project that could be done, you know, today, is take those pots, if you've got them stowed away for the wintertime, or if they're in the corner of the garage or shed, get those out, clean those containers out. And I wouldn't suggest planting them unless you're planting pansies, but you can clean them out, get them filled with soil, and be excited about, you know, what colors and what plants you're going to be using for this wonderful spring and summer season that awaits. So again, thanks very much for tuning in, and we will talk to you next Saturday.